Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your host of the show. My name is Ryan.
And I am Dak.
And on this week's episode, man, we got a fun topic. We are talking about the 8 reasons why we love Disneyland.
Yeah, so we've done this little series of the 8 reasons why we love, and we've done a few other locations. We're looping Disneyland all in together, which I could not be more excited about. Yeah, I love Disneyland.
Man, we've talked about this before. You sold me on Disneyland. I was not a believer until I went and fell in love.
Yeah.
Just Disneyland is an amazing park.
Yeah, it's so great. There's so many reasons to love it. And I was kind of the same way. I, you know, cut my teeth in the Disney world on, or cut my teeth in the Disney realm at Disney World is what I'm trying to say. That was our first park. Loved it. Absolutely loved going to Disney World. And it always has fond memories. But man, once I went to Disneyland a couple of times, I just caught that bug, and I just love going to Disneyland now.
When was your first trip to Disneyland?
So I believe it was right around 2018 or 2019.
Okay.
I had a work function thing out in California, and my wife, Babby, came along with me, and we just kind of did Disneyland on our own. Funny story, just a quick little funny story. So I was at my conference during the day, and she went to Disneyland on her own. She ran into the guys from Duck Dynasty. You remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
So she's sitting
Phil
there.
And I can't remember.
Guys, right? So she's just sitting there, and all of a sudden she looks over, and there's the whole Duck Dynasty family chilling.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
That was her first experience. She talked to one of the brothers. I can't remember which one. Anyways, so that was a great experience, and then we ended up going back one more time as a family to introduce our girls to it, and all of us fell in love. It became kind of our family, our new family park is Disneyland over Disney World, as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, and you guys were annual pass holders for a while.
Yeah, yeah, there. We loved it. Yeah. So just kind of worked out to be a situation where we had bought some tickets, they got put on hold, and then by the time we could go back again, we still had active tickets, just not used. And so we were like, well, if we just kind of pay an extra couple $100 each, we can get an annual pass. And so we did that. And man, it was great.
And so we've been doing these guys trips for a while now. Yeah. And obviously it was you who brought up the idea, hey, let's do a Disneyland guys trip. So what was that? 2021 or 2020? I think it's 2020. September of 2021?
Yeah, it was post-COVID.
It was definitely post-COVID. Sure. But I think it was 2021. And yeah, it was a 3-day trip. And man, like I said earlier, I was hooked.
Yeah.
Totally hooked on the whole Disneyland experience. So I want to thank you, Dak. And I have publicly apologized before, because I was not a fan of even trying Disneyland.
Yeah, hard, right? Because you fall in love with your home park, which... Again, that's what I was trying to say earlier, is Disney World was our home park. That's where our girls first started going to Disney. And so it had a lot of sentimental value there. And it's not like we don't still love Disney World. If you said, let's go to Disney World today, I'd be like, my bag's already packed. So it's not like you don't love Disney World. It's just I personally rank Disneyland a little bit higher than I do Disney World. And we'll get into some of those reasons why.
Well, let's do it.
All right. So reason number one, the history and its Walt's. Like, that's, to me, that's the biggest thing, is you walk in that park knowing this is where it all started, right? Like, Walt helped design, build, put his personal fingerprint on, you know, a lot of this park. Obviously, there's been a lot of updates over the years and changes over the years, but this is his park.
And when you say that, I think of the iconic... you know, his iconic opening monologue from the, you know, opening day at Disney: to all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it almost gets a little teary eyed thinking about, you know, hey, that's where, yeah, like you said, that's where Walt walked. That's where he had the apartment above the firehouse that's still there.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and I, you know, when you watch the Imagineering story on Disney Plus, you get to see a lot of his creative process that went into Disneyland and really how much love and joy and, just all of his emotions that went into getting Disneyland off the ground and just making it what it is.
Yeah. And just to add to that, you know, his creativity, when I think about Disneyland, I think, man, you know, in today's world, Disney has billions of dollars to work with and design. And, you know, one of the cool things about the Disneyland story is just how limited his budget was.
At I know, the time. It's crazy.
And just how creative they had to get to make it work, right? And develop and grow over the time and create sponsorships. And they still do sponsorships and all that stuff. But, I mean, not to the even close to the level that they did starting out at Disneyland. And so it's just a testament to who he was and his tenacity to fulfill that dream of his of having this park.
Yeah, I had to double check something, but do you remember how much it cost to build Disneyland?
Man, I want to say, I can't remember off the top of my, I want to say he had like a $15 million budget or something like that, but that seems way too high.
It was $17 million. And I think he went over budget.
Oh, he did. Yeah, for sure.
So I don't think the original budget was 17.
Yeah.
that's what he ended up spending, I believe.
Yeah.
So anyway.
For sure.
Yeah. Walt's touch. I love that, dude.
All right. Should we go to number two?
Yep.
Sleeping Beauty Castle. So again, this is just, I mean, for a Disney worlder, I will say the first time you see the Disneyland castle coming from Disney World first, you're like, where is it? But I promise you, it grows on you. Like it just becomes this charming little castle that is just magical, right? Like, I don't know how else to describe it.
Okay, so let me describe my experience for the first time that I saw. And again, very similar to a lot of people's first time seeing the castle. It's, where's the rest of it?
Yeah,
it is tiny.
Yeah,
like surprisingly tiny compared to Cinderella's castle.
For sure.
And I would say too, as a point of reference, because when you're at Magic Kingdom in Florida, you use the castle as kind of a reference point because you can see it from all areas of the park. Not the case at Disneyland. You get off away from the castle and you can get lost, totally disoriented because you're like, wait a minute, I need the castle to kind of orient myself and fix myself back on the center, on the hub. It's hard to do at Disneyland, but it is charming. You know, it's obviously like, again, it's the castle that Walt built, you know, and I love the fact that there is actually an attraction in the castle, which is the story of Sleeping Beauty as a kind of a walkthrough experience, which that you don't have that at Cinderella's castle.
No, I would say that's a huge advantage that the Disneyland Sleeping Beauty's castle has over Cinderella's castle is that you actually get to do that walkthrough and experience being in the castle. At Cinderella's castle in Florida, you're kind of limited to, do I have a dining reservation there at Cinderella's Royal Table, or do I have a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo boutique reservation? And that's about it. Unless you're one of those lucky people that win the trip to spend the night in Cinderella's castle.
This is as close as we're ever going to get to staying in that suite.
Yeah. Right now.
Yeah.
But no, absolutely love the, and I love the overlays. They still do, you know, when you get there at Christmas time, they're, you know, hanging the snow caps on it and making it just look beautiful. So while it's small, it's charming and has personality, in my opinion.
No, and that's true. And like I said, I mean, again, I think when you go to Disneyland for the first time, and we talk about this all the time on the show, you have to manage expectations. The expectation needs to be that it's going to be unlike any other castle that Disney has constructed at any of their parks. It is the smallest castle, but again, it's the first castle. It's a charming castle. It's got great history. It's got a great story behind it, and you just enjoy it for what it is.
No, absolutely. All right, number three. Attraction, variety, and uniqueness. So I think this is one of the most charming things about, or one of the most things that I love about Disneyland, is you just get such a unique experience with different ride attractions that don't always show up in other parks. So, for example, the Matterhorn, Indiana Jones Adventure, Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin. These are just some of the unique rides you get to get on at Disneyland that don't seem to be anywhere else in the parks across the globe.
True. And, you know, when you said Matterhorn, my back immediately started to hurt. You know, I had heard stories about the Matterhorn and about the pain that it can cause you. And, I, you know, again, on our trip there. So actually, our first guy's trip, the Matterhorn was down. I didn't get to do it until I did a trip with my brother and his wife and my wife, Holly. And sure enough, Matterhorn was one of the worst experiences of my life.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I could not lean back against the seat because the vibrations of the coaster were so strong that it was causing pain. So, but once I sat up a little bit, it became tolerable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember that attraction though. And this is one of the things I do remember growing up. And again, I'd never been to Disneyland growing up, but I do remember the, like the repellers, the Mountaineers.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That would repel down from the mountain. That was kind of one of Disney's advertising.
Yeah.
You know, when they put out a TV commercial in the 80s, hey, you know, check out these Mountaineers that are climbing down the Matterhorn. And that's actually, that's referenced on the Imagineering story as well.
For sure.
And I don't know why they don't do that anymore. Is that a safety thing? I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that's a great, and then they used to have the Skyliner that would go through it as well.
So oh, that's right.
Those old bucket Skyliner rides would go right through it. But man, I think the other thing that I really love is just how different some of the attractions are at the parks, right? Even on the, well, I can ride Pirates at, you know, Disney World or some of the other parks as well. It's just each park has its own little unique spin. I love the Pirates at Disneyland. There's a couple more drop, or there's another drop. There's, you know, just...
Well, it's also longer.
It's longer.
Well, what would we say, like 4 to 5 minutes longer than the Disney World version?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Just great. And then same thing with Space Mountain, just a little twist or uniqueness to it that's different than the original Space Mountain at Disney World, right? Disney World, you ride, you know, all in a row, whereas Disneyland, you're side by side. I love it.
Yeah, it makes the Space Mountain attraction more, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Disney World Space Mountain can be a little scary. I mean, even though it doesn't even go that fast,
yeah,
right? But just because you're sitting single file in the cart makes it seem like you're kind of all alone, right? But yeah, the Disneyland version, you sit side by side, doesn't feel as rough. And it's a small world.
Yeah.
Like that, okay. Again, I think on our last episode we bashed It's a Small World.
I think so. Yeah.
At Disney World, right? But the one at Disneyland, I tell you, it is like, it's this huge, they have this huge facade. Again, they go into the history of it on the Imagineering story, like how they, you know, designed this clock, you know, for it. The lighting scheme, especially around the holiday season when they light it up for Christmas.
I'm telling you.
They do the show as well, the projections off of, because it's that big. It's, again, we talked, yeah, I think it was our last episode, we kind of talked about rides that we might be okay with, they got rid of, and I may have said It's a Small World, but I would say the Disneyland version is such an iconic attraction.
Yeah.
And just everything, just the construction of it, the lighting, the history behind it. Again, it's Walt wrote it himself.
Yeah.
You know, there's video of him in the boat with little children doing It's a Small World. It's like, okay, this is an attraction that has stood the test of time and will continue to stand the test of time forever.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
So, yeah, I like that reason number three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going. Reason number four, we love Disneyland, is its superior food. So I think some people are going to argue this.
Okay.
What's that?
Okay, continue.
You know, Disney World has some amazing options. We talked about this on our best park episode where we kind of drafted and ranked each park according to its food, its attractions, its convenience, all those things. Can't remember which episode that was, but one of the things that you and Randy agreed on is that Epcot has the best food options.
Yeah.
I argued that Disneyland has the best food options. I think you can't go wrong either way.
True.
Like, I'm not going to kick you out for forcing me to go to Epcot to eat one day. But I just think Disneyland brings some amazing food options to you, and they have some great restaurants that you can kind of, you know, enjoy some of the food there. So just for example, Disneyland, they have, this is one of my favorite places to stop and take a break, the Tropical Hideaway. This is where you can get multiple Dole Whip flavors. You sit down, you got the Tropical Jungle Cruise music playing in the background.
And this isn't this where Randy likes his, what, barbecue flavored Dole Whip? No, it's not barbecue. It's like picante flavor.
Yes.
Kind of spicy.
Yeah, they all the time they're offering different versions of the Dole Whip as seasonal Dole Whips. Man, it's great, right? You can get different raspberry and, you know, whatever, pineapple swirl, just good Dole Whips there. Man, I know you're a big fan of Cafe Orleans and Monte Cristo.
Again, you turned me on to that Monte Cristo sandwich, which I had never had before. And I remember, again, story time. The first time we went, you're like, I think this is big enough to share. So I think between you, me, and Randy, we split two Monte Cristo sandwiches. And I remember thinking, bro, I could have housed that myself.
Yeah.
And I was furious that you're like, no, we got to share this. I'm like, bro. So every time I've gone back since then, I'm like, I made sure I get my own Monte Cristo sandwich and the fries with that special seasoning. Yeah. And then they come out with the dipping sauces. Man, it's actually reasonably priced too.
Yeah.
It's not an expensive meal, you know? So that is, yeah. Monte Cristo, I would say, is one of my most favorite meals anywhere at Disney World or Disneyland. It's like, it's just up there.
Yeah.
So,
man, I'll tell you another place I love for snacks. I love to get the snacks. I'd almost rather have snacks all day than meals, right? I love the Jolly Holiday.
Like, yeah, just, you do.
There's just some great snack offerings in there. And it's seasonal, right? So they're switching out. They have, similar to what you have in La Halle's in France, in Epcot, they have this raspberry tart macaroon at Jolly Holiday. So good. Man, so good. And so, I just think Disneyland has some great food offerings. Any others that like jump off the page to you?
You know, and I think, well, the one of the obvious ones is that people always say that the Disneyland churro is better. I can't taste the difference, but you know, they say it's because of the, what is it? Lack of humidity.
That's
in California,
they
that they produce a better churro. I can't tell the difference. I like churros at both parks, but I would say this though, cause we have had, we've done the Lamplight Lounge. No. That's at California Adventure.
Yeah.
Scratch that. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you one that I almost forgot about that I need to mention is you go over to the Mint Julep just outside of Tiana's and the Haunted Mansion and get yourself some Mickey beignets.
Ooh.
And that's another one. They'll do seasonal flavorings on the beignets.
Yes.
So you can get a gingerbread toppings, you know, sugary topping on a beignet. Of course, the standard powdered sugar beignet. For those of you who aren't from the South, a beignet is like a fried donut, but it's not a donut consistency. It's,
yeah, I mean, a fried donut is probably the best way to describe it, but it's not a donut.
Yeah. Christmas time, you can get a peppermint. That's so good.
Ooh.
So, and just a mint julep itself. So a mint julep is kind of like a tangy, I don't know how to describe it.
I'm not a fan
it.
Of the mint julep.
Oh, really?
No.
Man.
I don't like it. Mint.
It's like a minty lemonade. I don't know how else to describe it other than that. But it's just good. It's just pure goodness right there. Like,
oh,
you got powdered sugar all over your face and you're sitting there and you're on the rivers and you got Tiana's behind you. You can hear the Haunted Mansion ahead of you and you got the you know, boat going around the rivers. It's just, that's heaven right there. Like, that's as close as you're going to get to heaven.
Well, and that reminds me, and maybe I should have talked about this on our reason number three, attraction, variety, and uniqueness. I love just the whole area, the New Orleans Square area. Yeah. Like, that is such a unique part of Disneyland, with Pirates of the Caribbean, with Tiana's, with Cafe Orleans, with Blue Bayou, with the shopping that they have there. It's like all this quaint kind of New Orleans style, like a miniature shopping district. It's just really charming.
Yeah.
Just that entire area over there. So,
no, I totally agree. And I think I think what's cool is, and not to get too far off topic on this, but even as you go through there and different places throughout Disneyland, I love how the Imagineers use authentic looking. I mean, they're really trying to engulf you in the story there of being in New Orleans Square, or in, you know, to give some Disney World love, in Liberty Square, right? Like, they're using real history, real background information, and they're building the story around things as they actually were. And so I love that.
And there is the Club 33 access.
Yes, that's
right there in that square. Yeah, so,
All right, we're in number five. It is compact and has a walkable layout.
I think this is where Disneyland has a leg up on Disney World. So the ability to walk from Disneyland to Downtown Disney to California Adventure and back and forth without having to get in your car, without having to hop on a monorail, without having to take a bus is such a huge advantage.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think this is probably one of my top two or three reasons why I love Disneyland so much. It is so manageable. In fact, if I have people call me or text me and they're like, hey, we're thinking about doing a Disney trip, what do you suggest, California or Florida? A lot of first timers, I want to send them to Disneyland because it's so manageable. I mean, even like, now, what's a little bit crazy about Disneyland, if you've been to Disney World first, is that once you step off property, you're back in the real world. Whereas the Disney bubble of Disney World expands out, right? Like, but what I will say is, even as you're there at Disneyland, your hotels all around the parks are very accessible. You're totally within walking distance to get into the parks from your hotels. Now, of course, obviously you can, you know, stay further away, but I think there's all reasonably priced hotels very close to Disneyland that are very walkable and just, and we love staying at the Disneyland hotel, the actual Disneyland hotel. So you're still on property, man. I just, that if this was my own personal list, that would be its own number, is the Disneyland hotel. I just love that hotel for the charm and the history and the nostalgia that is there at the Disneyland hotel. But at least for this reason of it being compact and walkable, it's so nice to be within walking distance of the parks.
Yeah, every time that I've gone, we've stayed off property, but within walking distance. I don't think we've stayed more than maybe half a mile away. And because the weather is so fantastic there, you can leave your hotel at 7:38, walk to the parks, you know, it's a 20-minute walk, and you're not sweating when you get there, right?
Right.
Like, you couldn't do that in Florida, in the summertime.
Yeah, even from the Contemporary over to the, you know, Magic Kingdom, you're like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Sweat's going. Like, I think also what is nice about, now I've never done the research on this, but I've heard it from several different sources. And that is that Disneyland proper, if you will, so that and Disney California Adventure have as many attractions as Disney World. I find that hard to believe, but I've heard it from multiple different sources. So what that tells me is that if each park, and I'm just going to throw out a random number, I'm not saying this is the number, but if each of those two parks, Disney World, Disneyland, have 50 attractions, the compactness of Disneyland, in that you can hit multiple attractions. Boom, 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 boom. They're just right on top of each other. Makes the parks very walkable and very enjoyable to be able to just go through the parks and go right from Pirates, and you take like, you know, 100 steps and you're right next to Jungle Cruise, or you're right next to Indiana Jones. And they're just really, I mean, Indiana Jones and Jungle Cruise are like literally right next to each other.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and one of the things that Walt, I mean, and let's be honest, that was one of Walt's complaints about Disneyland. You know, when he built the park, you know, all these developers gobbled up the real estate outside of Disneyland, for sure. Right? So he was kind of confined into this area. When he went to Disney World, he bought, what it was like, what, 47 square miles of property. Yeah. Everything is laid out differently. Crazy, right? Dude. It's just a different way of living. So, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it's like easily, I think because of the walkability, when we go out there, it's like we do 3 days, but usually you can get everything done in about 2.5 because you're not having to waste time, you know, park hopping. Because park hopping at Disney World takes, again, this is kind of the dilemma that we're having right now with my own trip that's coming up here in about a month and a half, is like, it's a 2-day park hopper.
Yes. Yeah.
We're like, okay, but if you're park hopping from Magic Kingdom to Hollywood Studios, that's probably a good 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a big difference.
Just to get from one to the other. If you're park hopping from Disneyland to California Adventure, that's 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Tops.
Yeah.
Right. So just different.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. I totally agree. And I think it's one of those things where, I don't know, obviously this was not by design, but I think it's one of those things where you almost have to get a park hopper when you go to Disneyland, because it's just so daggum convenient to go over to the next park. Like it becomes so much of a no-brainer that you're like, well, yeah, we have to get a hopper. Like,
yeah,
it just becomes part of your ticket price.
Yeah, pro tip, get the park hopper when you go to Disneyland.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, moving on. Let's go to number 6, best versions of the iconic rides. So you put this one together. What do you mean by that? Best versions of some of these iconic rides?
Yeah, well, we kind of hit on it earlier. Like, for example, like Pirates of the Caribbean, right? It's longer. You have the extra drop. Space Mountain. I think Space Mountain at Disneyland probably is a little bit better because it's the side by side, and you get the overlay. You get the Hyperspace Mountain, right? Over at the Haunted Mansion, you get the Haunted Mansion overlay for Halloween, which they do not. I don't know why they don't do it at Disney World.
Yeah, I've heard different excuses.
I don't like.
That's
it's
all
like
they are to me.
Like, you guys are, you know, 6 hours apart by air, like, but you know, you're a second apart by email. Like, how about the people at Disneyland just send over the plans to Disney World? Okay, this is how you do the Haunted Mansion overlay, right? This is how you do Hyperspace Mountain. Like, to me, it just makes sense. I don't know why they don't do that.
No, I think you're right. I think that's, to me, again, so I said food is one of the, or the compactness is one of the top two or three. This is, again, in that top two or three reasons why I love Disneyland. I love the overlays. Like, I cannot get enough of them. I will specifically plan trips around times where I know they're doing the overlays. You brought up earlier the Christmas overlay that they put on It's a Small World. Love it. There's just so many lights, and they do the projection mapping on the side of the building. I love Nightmare Before Christmas overlay at Haunted Mansion during the holidays. I just can't get enough of it. I absolutely love it. I would say the other thing, kind of going back, we missed this on the compact version of it, is that when Disney does holidays, it is like overload holidays, right? Like, they're, because it's so tight together and all these rides are so close, it just seems like the decorations are on, you know, hyperdrive.
Yeah.
Because they're just everywhere. Whereas, you know, again, some of the other parks, because they're so spread out, it just doesn't feel like it's so much in your face, which I love the in your face when it comes to Halloween and Christmas and some of these holiday overlays that they do. So I'm all on that.
And I think too, because Disneyland still has some of those iconic, like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yes.
That they got rid of at Disney World.
Yeah.
Like, there's just some attractions there at Disneyland that you know, and maybe this is kind of bleeds into the number seven reason, which is the nostalgia factor, right? There's still a lot of things at Disneyland that, I mean, it's been there since the park opened, right?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think you feel that, again, these are all starting to blend together, right? So you go into Fantasyland at Disneyland, and not only is it compact, what do they have there? Like probably 6 to 7 different rides, from Storybook Canal to Dumbo to Mr. Toad's, you know, Peter Pan's Flight, Pinocchio, Snow White. All those are right there in that small little compact area. And they're all those old nostalgic childhood memory attractions, right? Dumbo, Peter Pan, Snow White, Pinocchio. All these things, if you grew up on these cartoons, they're all right there. And you just, you know, boom, 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 just go right in order to them and get to them. Plus the carousels right in the middle of all of that.
So
right?
here's a pro tip. When they do the fireworks show there, so back at and in this area, so we're talking about Fantasyland, right behind the castle. What they will do is that once the fireworks show is over, they actually will have they have that entire section roped off for about 30 to 45 minutes, right?
Yeah.
They're letting the fireworks kind of settle down. They're kind of washing down all of the concrete there, making sure it's safe, right? Well, you start forming the line. They have a little section that you can line up. And we did this on our couples trip. Man, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, we hit all of these attractions, Mr. Toad's, Peter Pan, Snow White, Pinocchio, in about 15, 20 minutes total.
That's awesome.
Because nobody was back there
after
the fireworks show. So, pro tip. If you want to do Fantasyland, do it after the fireworks show.
Yeah. I think one more thing on the nostalgia factor is, for me, I think Disneyland, and I mentioned this before, Disneyland Hotel, they have this like retro 50s, 60s vibe. Even Disneyland, there's sometimes where you feel like it's just like, man, I can still see this as its original glory park, right? And definitely you see that at the hotel. The hotel is all in that, you know, 60s, 50s deco, you know, kind of vibe to it. And man, I just, for me personally, I love it. Like, I just love that feel of like, because for whatever reason, I mean, I'm not a kid of the 50s or 60s. I'm not that old yet, but you know, going to grandma's house or going to whatever and seeing that old vibe, it just, for whatever reason, hits me in the memories of like that nostalgic feeling of like the old wooden, you know, TV stand and the,
And I think nostalgia, and maybe this is a little cynical. I feel like nostalgia is becoming maybe a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we grew up, we're products of the 80s. I would say, you know, grew up in the 80s, early 90s, kind of our formidable youth and teenage years, right? When, I mean, again, our generation, we always talk about how life was a little more simple back then, right? Played outside till dark,
right?
No internet, like didn't have cable television. We had to entertain ourselves. And I think when you do that, you just naturally create these types of memories, right? And maybe that's something that's not happening. I mean, I see it with my own kids, like, you know, they're all connected,
You
know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I just wonder though, if that nostalgia of, you know, creating memories is becoming less and less. I could be totally wrong. This might be a part of the podcast that we just edit out because it's not making any sense, but we're talking about the nostalgia factor, right? And, you know, I guess here's the thing. I hope that, you know, when you go, like you said, when you go to Disneyland or Disney World, but we're talking about Disneyland, that you do get a sense of the nostalgia that is there.
No, for sure. It reminds me of, this is so crazy. It reminds me of Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, where he gets caught up in the attic and he turns on the old like projection show of him having this nostalgic Christmas moment from 1955. And he's like tearing up. That's kind of how I feel at Disneyland and at the Disneyland Hotel, is I'm just like, oh man, this is like old school, you know, just family gatherings and just, you know, you always remember the happy moments of those old Christmases you used to have at grandma and grandpa's or, you know, whatever. So anyways, that's the nostalgia that I feel for whatever reason, which there's no reason to connect that to Disneyland other than for it just hits that button.
It just does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Number eight. This is our last one. The Magic After Dark. So I don't think this is unique to Disneyland, but it sure is magical at Disneyland. And what I mean by that is, like, you go to Magic Kingdom at night, and we've talked about this before. You're on Main Street, and the lights, and this is the same at Disneyland, the lights have that, like, softer glow to them, and it just becomes absolutely magical. The trees all have those, like, soft, pulsating, you know, flicker to them, like the old time Christmas lights, right? And it's just, they almost look like fireflies that are kind of, you know, going off. It just becomes such a magical feeling.
No,
go ahead.
No, you hit the nail on the head. It's like, this is not unique to Disneyland, but I think it's important to note that for example, you're a lover of Disney World and you're going to Disneyland for the first time, like I did a couple of years ago. Like, you expect that nighttime to be equally magical, and you 100% get to experience that at Disneyland. Like, it's still magical. Like you said, the flickering lights, the ambiance, the music, everything that goes that you find at Disney World, you're going to find at Disneyland, right? Do you have Happily Ever After? No, nobody does. That's Disney World, right? We're talking about Disneyland. Right. Like, Fantasmic is fantastic. They do a fireworks show. I will say during the, when was it? The Oogie Boogie Bash.
Yeah.
When we were there, whenever it was, September of 2021. Anyway, I thought the castle show during the Oogie Boogie Bash was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was so good.
So I think that that's one thing that, again, is kind of unique to Disneyland. And this speaks to, you know, whatever our number was, number five of it being compact. You know, for a nighttime show, you kind of get the best of both worlds. So you head over to Frontierland and New Orleans Square. You get to see Fantasmic there on the river. And then immediately after that is typically when they have the castle show for, you know, whatever it is they're showing that night. I love that. Now, it can be a little crowded. It can be very crowded there. And it can make it a little bit harder to navigate your way back over to Main Street and the castle. But to be able to get two shows for one, man, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's, like, pretty sweet.
So I love that. You know, one thing as you were talking there that I think we haven't hit on that I particularly love at night in Disneyland is the weather. So,
oh yeah.
You know, here's the thing. Florida is hot. I mean, you can be there in November, December, January, and it can still be 80 degrees mm-hmm. easily. And so going to California and the weather that they have out there, I mean, they call it sunny California for a reason. But I think even more so than that is when you're there on a cool September night or October night and you've been in the parks all day and you're like walking around and the sun goes down and the weather just really cools off. You're like, ooh, I might need a little jacket here. That's the best. Like, you and I have this little thing we say to each other, you know, whenever the weather is really good here in Texas, we're like, oh, it's a Disney day, right? Like, that's our little joke between each other. Because there's just something about being at Disney when it's a little bit cool, there's a little bit of a crispness to the air, and it just feels like, okay, it's going to be a good day. The sun is shining, but it's still cool outside and kind of, you know, you're like, oh man, I might put on a little bit of a long sleeve shirt or something like that and just go enjoy this day, put some sunglasses on, and there's nothing better.
Well, because weather plays such a huge part in our lives on a day-to-day basis, yes. no matter where you live, right? But I think to your point, I think this is what I'm hearing is like Southern California, Disneyland, you don't really have to factor in the weather into right. your plans. You're not worried about bringing an umbrella or bringing Crocs or bringing an extra pair of socks because it's going to rain or, you know, I'm going to sweat through my clothing
yes.
by 1 o'clock in Florida. I might need to bring an extra t-shirt.
Like, yeah.
That's just something that's eliminated and you just get to enjoy everything else because the weather's taken care of.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, like, it's not, eternal bliss, right? Obviously, there's hot days, there's days where it rains, you know, that sort of thing. But overall, I would say 95% of the time, it's going to be just perfect, like just so perfect. And so for me, that's, you know, that kind of wraps up my number eight reason is I just love Disneyland at night and the crispness of the air, the, you know, the glow of the lights. It's just, man, it's just a fun place to be at nighttime.
So I think the whole point of the show today has been go to Disneyland. If you've never been, again, I am speaking from personal experience. I was the naysayer. I was the doubter for such a long time. And I went, and I would say it was not only was it a great decision, but I've gone back twice. I've now done three trips to Disneyland since 2021, 2022. Yeah. And we will continue to go because it is that great of a park.
You think you'll take your girls?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to because, like, I mean, there's so many differences between the two parks.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. I mean, yeah. And we didn't even talk about California. We'll do an episode about California Adventure. But, yeah, I just think, you know, definitely want to get the girls out there and have them experience, like, this. Again, like, I don't want to get emotional, but, like, this is Walt's park.
Yeah,
you know, sure. Like, this is the park that he built. This is the park that he walked down the streets. He sat up in his apartment and would overlook the people coming in.
Totally.
Like, that's special, you know.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, I think a testament to it is everybody compares, like, in what I'm saying is in the amusement park world, I think everybody holds Disneyland as the standard, right?
Oh, they are.
Like, yeah. I mean, I think that that's the standard by which everybody says, okay, how do we measure up to this, right? And so to me, again, just to kind of maybe bring everything full circle, I think that's what really sets the standard is Disneyland saying, okay, this is how we're doing our park. We're clean. We're organized. We're, you know, walkable. It's all these things, all these different things we talked about that I think the entertainment amusement park world says, okay, how do we make our park? Maybe we don't want to be a carbon copy of Disneyland, but we want to figure out how to be as enjoyable as what Disneyland offers to a lot of people.
Yeah. And other parks are still trying to catch up.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. So, well, hey, man, this was a fun episode.
Yeah.
You know, it's always fun to talk about Disney.
Yeah.
So, hey, guys, thanks for listening today. Listen, we are on social media. Find us at Escape to the Magic. Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. Looking forward to coming back next week with a brand new episode.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone.
Later.